Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. My name is Ashwini and I am joined by Jen today, who is joining us as the steward of the Africa Vulnerable Children's Project. Good afternoon, Jen.
Good afternoon, Ashwini.
I believe you have a wonderful, exciting, and important announcement for us today.
I do. I can't actually really believe we're here, but here we are, kicking off the 16th annual Bridge Walk season.
I know. I was just thinking about it, Jen. It was just saying this on the Project Jar radio show. Can it be the 1st of August already?
Can it be? Can it be the 1st of August, and can it be time to kick off the Bridge Walk season? I can't remember what we were doing at the end of a retreat recently or something, and just kind of looked around at each other and said, oh my goodness, we need to plan the Bridge Walk. It's that time of year again. It's amazing.
Amazing.
And, you know, I'll just say also, the last several years, I have to keep counting to say, so when I go to start writing about it, and 16th annual, can that be right? Let me just, am I making that, it must be more like the 12th, right? Let me count again. Amazing too.
Yeah. Well, so what do we have planned for this year's
it's
annual Bridge Walk campaign?
Yeah, it is so exciting, really amazing. I mean, we could, as I know you would agree, we could fill the next 10 minutes talking about the process of how it came about, because it was so practice. But just quickly, kind of in a nutshell, what we were looking at is we have a big, exciting challenge in front of us this year in the project, because the exchange rates have really changed quite a bit over the last 12 months, such that the funds that are required every month for us to send over are larger than they have been. And so what we looked at this year is we wanted to really set an ambitious fundraising goal for ourselves so that we can truly, in this Bridge Walk season, truly cover the annual costs of the daily maintenance of the project, because, of course, we're not going to scale the project back. We're not scale project back kinds of people. We don't do that. So we had such a commitment to keep the project where it is, and there are a number of things that we really want to expand into, such as the girls program, which we've talked about, you know, in a number of blogs and that sort of thing. So as we were looking at that, we began to put a really fun campaign together around a certain theme, and all the pieces were coming together. And then as we kind of worked with it, there were just some things that didn't seem to come together. They just weren't falling in place. We weren't seeing the way through. And so there was a point at which we just sort of started asking questions. Okay, well, what about this and what about that? And what happened in that process was, we completely let go the idea that it seemed like we were going to go with, and just opened up to life to see what might be there in terms of assisting us with this really ambitious goal that we have this year, and this whole other beautiful sort of way of participating this year with the campaign fell into place.
Yes.
So
if I might on a process level, it's that it's being here for what life is telling us in the moment. So we actually received a whole cloth plan from life. We were ready to launch that. And as we looked at it, we're like, you know what? It really doesn't work. So we're going to have to throw it out. It reminds me of that Zen story where the monks spend all this time putting this beautiful thing together, and then the horsemen ride by, and the whole thing gets destroyed, and there's laughter in that, right? And it was such that experience that we're so well taken care of that what we created that was beautiful, but just not appropriate to what the project needed.
Yeah.
And so we had to let it go.
Well put. And, you know, Ashwini, I had such a big smile on my face when you and Sherry were facilitating the Project Joy this morning, because I just thought, wow, if that isn't the perfect assignment for today's launch and for this particular campaign, because the last line of the assignment was, today, bring enjoyment to doing what is arising in your life to do. Experience the movement from necessary to possible to the joy of accomplishing what the ego argues is impossible. And I just thought that that was truly the gift that the project is giving us this year. There's this thing we need to do. We need to do it. The project is asking it of us. Life is asking it of us. And so there was this, just this way in which we just opened up to it and said, all right, great. And with that, suddenly we're looking at accomplishing the impossible, the quote impossible. So I guess I should start in on the elements, huh?
Yeah, well, what is the impossible challenge that we're going to take on regardless?
Yep. So we are going to raise $150,000 this year, which is a huge goal. So let me tell you, can I tell you the elements and then I'll kind of tell you the other process piece of it around it. So what we saw was this is a huge challenge and it is going to be so much fun. And so what we want to do is we want to build a team of people who want to do it. So it's going to be a bit of a different kind of a campaign this year in that it's going to be an opt-in campaign. So the whole Sangha is not going to be receiving emails about the Bridgewalk for the 8 weeks leading up to the Bridgewalk. You'll be, if you want to participate, it will be an opt-in kind of a thing. And so what we're inviting people to do is to create a team, and if you jump in and join us, your team is committing to raise $500 or more. So if you agree to raise $500, then you're on the 150K team. Your team is part of that team, and there are any number of ways you could get to that $500 number or greater, whatever your goal is going to be. You could write the check, which might be absolutely, for some people, that might be the fun thing they want to do and completely possible, and that's great. For other people, you might put together a huge team of people. You might have your entire church be one team. You might have your workplace be a team. Or you might have multiple teams. That's one of the things that I started to really open to. So the process piece of it is that the whole thing just sort of revealed itself, and I was so excited as the pieces really fell into place. And about 24 hours later, I hear this voice that says, "You're never going to be able to pull this off. Do you realize? I mean, you are going to have to work so hard. There's no way. You're already." And I just saw in that, through the support of Project Joy and Sangha and groups and workshops, that's right, I'm never going to be able to do it. I is never going to be able to do it, and I don't even want to do that. So the joy of just completely turning it over to life and realizing, wow, we wouldn't have been given this challenge if we weren't up to it. And as I just did that and started to have so much fun, all these things started to drop in. So just I'll give you one tiny example, which is that what part of my team is going to be what's called teen cousins. So I have a number of nieces and nephews who are just amazing kids and all have huge hearts and love each other but don't get to spend a lot of time together. So we're building a team of all of them, and together we're going to have a fundraising goal, and each of them will do whatever they do in their neighborhoods and their schools, and then we can come together to, talk about it and give each other the support we need. So it's a way for us as a group of cousins, as family, to really get to spend some time together in a really fun, heart-opening way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
there's
just
so
one
much
example.
There's so much in that, Jen, that I'm going to try to reflect by giving away more elements, and let's
Please.
See if we can get this whole thing done before 5 o'clock.
Good. But Thank you.
The challenge is Team 150K for Africa. That's our that's the name of the campaign. What we're hoping to do is to invite people to form teams if they choose to actually opt in. Because I think one of the things we were looking at is there's so much to do in practice. There's so much participation. There's so much generosity in supporting practice in our Sangha that asking people to do one more thing may not be kind for everybody. And so this challenge is to not just ask people to donate the money or to support the project. They can if they choose to, but it's really the fun of inviting other people to assist other people to assist us in giving to something we really care about and are interested in supporting, and it's truly an opt-in. So you're invited to participate.
Exactly.
you're invited to use this as an opportunity to go beyond whatever the voices are saying. And you're also invited to use this as an opportunity to make it something that people you care about and who care about you can come together and work on in something that's fun and exciting for everybody.
Yes, exactly. As Sherry often says, you know, if I want to spend more time with someone, then I want to do a project with them, right? Because sitting around and just chit-chatting, what's that going to do? Take us to conditioned mind. But having a heart-opening something to focus on together, yeah, that really assists us. So
and we did the math, right? Jen, that this is the it's not that we're building one team, 150K for Africa. If we could get 300 teams each donating $500, we could actually meet our goal.
Oh, and I think we can. I really, it's so exciting. And I know for me, I'm going to take on several teams. So that might be true for other people, that they might, you know, you might do one team of 500, you might do three teams. I mean, it just depends on what you want to, how you want to go about it. So a couple of other elements. One is we're sort of following a group coaching model in the sense of everyone who's on that 150K team is going to get 8 weeks of support. And so we're going to have weekly calls where anyone on the team can get on the call. That's another really fun element of it. So like in my case, if we use my example, any one of those kids on that cousin's team could get on that support call. So it's not just for directly practitioners. It's truly a call for everyone on all the teams, which is another really fun way to share, you know, the spirit of practice with folks in your life who might be like-minded but maybe aren't directly involved in practice. And then the other piece of it is that in order for people in your life who may not know the project as well as you do, technology has given us a beautiful way, this is the first time we've ever been able to do this, to really give people a sense of the project directly. We're going to have 4 calls, video gatherings, with the team live in Cantalumba that everyone on the 150K team is going to be invited to, and you can invite anyone to it. So let's say I have a friend who is interested in maybe giving funds and wants to know a little bit more about the project. That friend can come to that gathering and get to learn about and meet the folks in Cantalumba directly, which I just think is going to be really, really fun.
And just to reemphasize that or reinforce that, right, Jen, this is there'll be a call where on Skype, video Skype, or whatever the technology we use, you will have a chance to actually meet Teresa, meet the teachers, meet the girls in the girls program, meet the kids on the property, and we'll be streaming this live. So it's not a video. It's an actual interaction.
That's right, and it will also be recorded, so if by chance it didn't fit with your schedule on a particular day, if you had to miss one or more of the calls, you'll have access to a recording of it.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, that would be so fun. The last time I sat on it, it was one of the most incredible experiences to get a flavor of that project we've supported for so long.
Yeah, and I think those of us who are directly involved, it's sort of like living at the monastery. You forget how amazing it is because it becomes your everyday world. And that's what's so fun about it is then, but when new people do come to the monastery or someone new gets to be on these calls, we get to experience it fresh and new also and get to see again how extraordinary it is. So
gift for the Living Compassion Cantalumba to meet the people who are supporting them.
They're so excited. Teresa's ecstatic. In fact, I will tell you just a little inside secret. Not inside anymore. We're going to do a little practice run on Saturday, and they are so excited. I mean, truly, I said to Teresa, now, you know, we'll probably do these maybe on Saturday afternoons because of the time difference. It's a little tricky. And I said, so tell the teachers not everyone has to come every time. And she said, Jen, there is no way anyone is missing any of these.
Yeah, they're always so inspiring, right? No, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. We're going to be there. We're going to be there for the joy, for the excitement, for the participation, for the fun of it. It is really another Project Joy opportunity.
It really is. And I just, again, the synchronicity with the Project Joy assignment this morning, and I feel like a theme in practice lately, that it's almost like, thank you, life, for changing the exchange rate, because, boy, has it invigorated this process. in such a tremendous way. Mm-hmm. So just that place of the things that life puts in front of us that seem like stumbling blocks become the most inspiring thing for us to get to practice with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we're way over time, Jen, but I will end with saying that all of this information that we've talked about is currently live on the website. You can opt into Team 150K today, for Africa Today, if you wish. I think there's a two-week period where we're encouraging these opt-ins, and then the support calls begin on August 14th, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes,
and, of course, you can just register and sign up to attend for the walk, whether or not you're participating in Team 150K for Africa, and watch out for the other emails that are encouragements to participate, and details on how to join the Skype calls live with the team in Cantalomba, as well as the support calls.
Yep, so we will be sending out more information, you know, Sangha-wide about the opt-in process. And just a quick, as always, huge thank you to the team behind the scenes who just works diligently, especially these last few days, to get all that up live on the website. So do you know how people would find it, Ashwini? Did I just go to the Africa
If you go to livingcompassion.com/Africa, if you click on the Africa Project, you can see Join Us at the Walk is the registration to the Bridge Walk, and Team 150K for Africa is underneath the Get Involved menu, and you could just read all about it there.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Jen Deep Dasho, for being the inspiring force behind this new focus and this new campaign.
Pleasure. Can't wait.
Yep.
Thanks, Ashwini.
Take care. And Michael,
bye-bye.
We'll turn over the show to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Ashwini. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. Are you kind of lit up?
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Awesome.
It's your season, isn't it?
It's yes.
Starting.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, that's so fun.
It is fun. And I was thinking, too, about the privileged environment and what a joy it is to really not know anything about what the plans were and just to have it all presented fresh and to have that experience of that newness and the freshness and the excitement and not getting any sort of rumors or whispers ahead of time about anything that's going on. It feels like a real gift.
Yeah. Yes, it does. And I was looking as Jen and Ashwini were talking that I hope there's an email going out. I know there was this and we can find it on the website. I hope there's also an email that's going to go out to the whole Sangha, because not everybody's listening to us right now. And I think that there are probably an awful lot of people who are in that category but really want to know about what's happening with the Africa Project. And we want everybody to have a chance. I just love it that, you know, it's not a prohibitive amount of money. You know, to be able to participate. So, you know, I always go back to my, you know, barefoot through the snow in the monastery where I trained experiences with some of the things that I did to raise extra money to support the monastery. They didn't ask me to, but I wanted to. And I found out there are just so many things a person can do. And with this, I don't even have to do it all myself, right? I can enroll my family and friends and like that, have a team, and then we can each, I mean, if we're a team of five, you know, we each come up with $100, and there, we've met our team goal. So it's good. It's inspired. And when we do get a sense of what that money means in the lives of these people on the other side of the world, it's just extraordinary. Because Jen and Ashwini, I'm sure we'll talk more about it going forward, but the girls program and these kids who are meeting their goals in terms of getting through their exams. And, you know, they're not little tiny people anymore. They're big people. And now we're looking at college, right? And training for various careers that they can go into and support themselves. So here we go from zero employment in this community to a whole group of young people who are getting ready actually to train to be productive members of a larger community. So it really is an exciting thing to have a chance to be involved with.
Yes, and as you were talking, it reminds me of, you know, truly the power of practice and to grow up in such poverty and to have no vision and no possibility and no role model, and to have practice come in the form of the project and to say, you know, I believe that you can do anything, and I want to support you to do that. You know, you need food? Great, here's food. You need water? Great, here's water.
Yeah.
You need some medical attention? Great. You're struggling with this? Great, let me help you with that. You know, the power of that support and faith and focus, I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, and taking these kids who their parents could perhaps live in a community like that and never, ever leave it. I mean, never leave it to go into the larger town. And these kids are being shown it's possible to become school teachers or nurses or doctors or whatever it is that they, you know, they're taken around to these. They're shown airplanes. They're taken to the airport. You know, you could work in these places. You could, you know, you could do these things that I mean, it's so hard for us to imagine living in the world that we live in. But a child who's never even seen a picture of an airplane, let alone go somewhere and see an actual airplane land and take off, and people get on it and get off of it, and that people fly those things and go all over the world, and where are they going? And now, you know, you can have a map of the world and see different countries. I mean, it's just astounding what's being offered to these folks. And we are the ones who get to make that possible.
Yes. Amazing. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the video
meeting,
that is amazing.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. As Ashwini described, I got to be in on one of those. And it's just, of course, I've been there a lot of times. And so I know that building and those people and those faces, and, you know, there's the lawn in front and the kids are playing, you know, that whole thing. But to have the technology where we can actually, it's like being there. And for people who probably will never, ever be able to get there, then all those things that we've been talking about in blogs for all of these years, Teresa. If you miss Teresa at the bridge walk when she came over, you know, there's Teresa. That's what she looks like. That's what she sounds like. Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yes. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Exciting time.
Exciting times. Exciting times. And I could go on that topic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Me too.
We have
our responsibilities. That's right.
Yes, we do. And the first is announcements.
Mm-hmm.
Our deep identification with me, the illusion of a self separate from life, masks our ability to be present to that which animates all as our true nature. Join Sherry in an email class, August 1st through 25th, for an engaging exploration of how our identification with all enneotypes prevents us from directly experiencing authenticity.
People can still join that thing?
That's
amazing.
This is on the announcements here for today. Yes.
All right. Well, I guess so then. All right. Well, good.
Yes. Recording and listening training is a 6-week conference call retreat for teaching 6 key skills of this valuable practice tool. We think you will find these calls to be fun, experiential, and transformative. Whether you are a new practitioner or an old-timer, two new classes start August 28th and 30th. The process of fear is how our life energy is used by ego to maintain the ego. Sherry and Ashwini are leading a powerful experience of going beyond the limits of fear at the Transcending Fear Retreat, September 1st through 6th in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. It's time to break free of the control imposed by egocentric karmic conditioning / self-hate and practice life's joy. For those who live in or travel through the San Francisco Bay Area, we are excited to announce that Center in Mountain View is open and has an exciting and full schedule of yoga, meditation, group discussions, workshops, and more. Find out more by emailing center@livingcompassion.org.
Yes, indeed. And I just got a text, Michael, you might have too, that registration for the email class, so that's
So that registration for the Enneagram email class closes at 6 p.m. today.
Should be 6:10, so the people who are with us now have a chance to jump off of this and get to that. But I bet if somebody signed up at 6:10, we would not say no to them.
Yes. Well, that's good, because I was just going to ask folks to leave the radio show to register, but we don't want to do that. And so for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show and get in the queue by pressing *6 and then 1. And focus on one topic and 5 minutes would be great. Okay, you ready, Sherry?
I'm ready, sir. Thank you.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry. Hey, Michael. It's Matthew from New Jersey.
Hello, Matthew.
Hey, Matthew.
How are you?
Good.
What's going on?
So, I have a lot going on, actually. I think what I'm struggling the most with is I'm noticing that the people that are in my life that I care about very deeply. I guess what I'm trying to say is, as I'm waking up, it's kind of hard to see that others around me are not.
Yes.
And the challenge that I have is, it's not just with the people that I love, it's really everyone who's not waking up, that there's such control that ego has and conditioning has for those people, and it's hard to accept.
So, Matthew,
so just,
may I?
Yeah. Yes.
Is a piece of it that you can see that people are suffering? And
that's a huge
that's
part of it.
That's hard to watch?
That's a huge part of it. It is hard to watch because I know what it's like to be there. And so it is hard to see others suffering and not having a path to not suffer. And another part of it is that for the people that I feel I'm trying my best to show unconditional love for, to see that there is such a lack of unconditional love towards me is kind of hard to see. And I think, you know, when I was a lot more asleep, we'll say, you know, there was a lot of collusion going on through ego, and it seems like there's a love and connection and a bond that's really there. And when you start to wake up, you realize that it's really just a collusion of ego. And then you start to notice that people aren't loving unconditionally. And it's really hard for me to accept, I think, for the people that are really dear to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm feeling such... And of course, then I replay my whole history in my head of my entire childhood and realizing how, my parents and my siblings, that there really was such a lack of nurturing for me and a lack of love. And that's also hard to accept. And that, I also showed that same thing towards them. And towards
right.
others, and that's also kind of hard to accept too.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's, I'm not really sure what the practice question would be.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know, recently I was just on a trip visiting with my sister who's very close to me and, or very dear to me, I should say. And I have a tendency to switch from the light room to the dark room very easily when I notice that lack of love and attention and mm-hmm. compassion. And it's like a split second, and it can be very intense for me. And mm-hmm. then the story start, of course, of, how this has gone on for years and you've just never noticed this in the past. And, so I start to hear the voice and I when I was on the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat in April, the process map was really helpful for me, a really helpful tool, and noticing how that can draw me in, how the voices mm-hmm. can draw you into that sort of whirlwind.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, in this case, I'm really struggling. struggling with getting a grip, when I get into that dark place on this particular content.
Yeah, well, we do. I know you're not alone. Let me just tell you once again, you are not alone. Okay, this is the path of everybody who decides to wake up. It's really true. As the light gets brighter, we see more clearly what's been going on. Now, for me, the point of compassion. So I will often talk with people about this who are upset with their parents. My parents never loved me the way, I can't love me the way I want to be loved. I can't love them the way I want to be loved. I can't seem to love anybody the way I want to be loved. And so how do I think they're going to be any different about that? So it's getting to that place. So there you are with your sister, and something happens, and you feel unloved, and you can watch your heart just close and go into a story, and we can guess that the same exact thing is happening with her.
Yeah.
The difference, I would suspect, is that you have a sense of what's happening, whereas she probably doesn't. Yeah. So she's just reacting and believing that everything that's going on in her head is real and true. You can watch what's going on in your head and be horrified by it, but really be incapable of changing it.
Right.
Yeah. So and it's an awful place. It's why waking up isn't more popular.
Yeah.
And it's why we say we don't do it until we've suffered enough.
Right.
If we have any chance at all of continuing to go through life in the grip of ego as compared to going through what we have to go through to wake up, we'll stick with ego.
Yeah. I know.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is really hard.
It's really hard. Yep.
It's
really hard.
But
you know, Matthew.
I thought it was going to be.
Right. But you know what? It was really hard before. You just weren't as aware of how hard it was. You know, again, the kind of images that I use. So I used to smoke cigarettes. You know, I always like to, well, I smoke everything, but in particular cigarettes, right? And and so then I got to the point where the choice was between smoking cigarettes and going to the monastery. Okay, I did not want to quit smoking cigarettes. I never had an ambition in my life of quitting smoking cigarettes, but I couldn't go to the monastery and smoke cigarettes, so I had to quit. And it was hideous. Now, was the addiction that I had to those things hideous? Yes, they were killing me. Right? If I'd been allowed to go on, I would probably be dead by now. Right? But at the time, quitting was so hideous that that it was not possible to see that any good would ever come out of this. You know, I'm even questioning, how important is going to the monastery for me? Really? All right? But if miracle, I kept going. I finally quit. I got to the place where I no longer felt addicted. I didn't want to do that. Now, of course, I have a built-in aversion to it. You know, the smell of a cigarette just, you know, I just have to walk across the other side of the street, right? Because it's repulsive to my body.
Right.
Yeah? Same process. Okay? So we go through that, seeing how it is, and still being caught in the grip of ego and self-hate. Not all the time. But it's so painful when we realize we are. It's so painful to see other people caught it, to feel so helpless to do anything to assist people, right? And if we keep going, it will get easier. It won't always feel this awful. But the thing about it, and I think this is, you know, it's one of those proving that God has a sense of humor. There really is no way to quit, because you know
once
the difference.
You've seen it. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
You can't see what's been
seen. So that's encouraging.
You can't unsee what's been seen.
That's right. You can't not know what you know. You just can't.
Yeah.
And so we keep going, and even though in any given moment it feels like this is not worth it, this is horrible, I wish I'd never, we keep going, and it gets easier. It's, you know, it's getting fit, it's losing weight, it's changing our diet, it's quitting coffee, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's the same process of, oh, God, I hate this. I don't want to do this. This is awful. Keep going. Keep going. Get to that place of, oh, thank God I did it. Thank God I went through it.
Yeah. I think where I'm struggling the most is that my heart is so open right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I happen to be a highly sensitive person to begin with. And then, you know, you blast my heart open and any little piercing feels very intense for me. And, you know, I had created all these wonderful coping mechanisms to deal with that sensitivity. And I feel all of those shedding from myself because I want to experience what is and what is happening. It's very intense.
Yeah. So I would offer this to you, and it may resonate and it may not, but each one of those, each time you experience something like that, to receive it as a confirmation that you want to live in a compassionate, open-hearted world. Whatever happens, because you never want to be the instrument of inflicting suffering on anybody else.
Mm-hmm. That is,
and there can be
perfect advice.
There can be a comfort in choosing that, because that takes you out of the victim role. Because you could be a jerk.
Yeah.
Right? If you wanted to, you could be a jerk. You know how to hurt people. You know how to say things to people that would just destroy them. But you choose not to, because you know how it feels to be on the receiving end of that. And now you're at choice about that.
Right. That's perfect.
Good. All
okay.
Right.
That helps
Take good
me a
care
lot.
Of yourself.
Thank you,
good.
Sherry.
I'm
I
glad.
Appreciate it. And,
and I think I'm going to get to see you soon. Is that true?
You are. You're going to in September at the
Fear Retreat. Good.
The Fear Retreat. Yes, I'm really looking forward to that. It's coming at a great time
good.
For me. So.
All right.
Thank
perfect.
You. And thank all you right. to all the work Take you care. Guys do.
Mm. Yeah, it's our pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. Take care.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Matthew. Sherry, what dropped in for me when you and Matthew were talking is this is why we need to stick together and be very close
yes.
and talk frequently
yes.
and be together frequently and so we can
yes.
nurture each other's fire.
Yeah. Yeah, support each other. Every step of the way, because it is hard.
Yes.
It's hard
yes.
to be a human being.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, Sherry, I got some additional information and about Center, and
oh,
that is
uh-huh.
that the website is now active, and that is Center in Mountain View, and that is center.livingcompassion.org.
Oh, okay. Center. livingcompassion.org. Oh, great.
Yes. Perfect. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
And now we're going to hear from our sponsor, Sherry, and then we'll be right back.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
Good, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. This is Anya.
Hello.
Hi, Anya.
Hi.
How you doing?
Well, I'm celebrating right now that I actually put myself in the queue again.
Good job. Good job, huh?
I'm lucky now. I'm getting in.
mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what's going on?
Well, I think that this human is going through the hardest time that she's had in this lifetime. And I just had this deeper awareness of how hugely cruel conditioning is, and it was around some of the conversation in the radio show this afternoon around asking for help and wanting to feel kindness and care. And I've been sad a lot about a lot of that and feeling like it's not available to me. And, I was interacting with a neighbor friend and just decided to talk about what was going on for me. And she said to me, I offered to help you twice and you haven't asked me. And I just realized how if she had asked me for some help, I would have, I would have been grateful for that, and I would have loved to have helped her, but for me to ask her to help me, it felt like I would lose her as a friend, and it's just all, I mean, and then I thought, you know, I have to go through this thing that I'm going through, and then on top of it, I have to be told that there's no help and there's no care. I mean, really.
Yeah. Oh, it's hateful. It's hateful. It's awful.
Really,
it's vicious. Awful. It's ugly. It's evil. Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah.
And we're so mired
in it, right?
Well, I believe it, you know. I mean, I don't
believe
it. And then when something shows up that says it's not true, I forget that. So I recorded that today, and I'm going to keep recording all of those things that prove that conditioning is so wrong. And
good
evil.
For you, because you know that was my next question. Do you have a recording and listening practice? Because, yes, exactly that. If we don't record those moments of insight, of clarity, it just closes over them, and it's as if they never happened.
I know. I think my challenge is that if I do record it, what I have to do is figure out how to keep my mind remembering where I put that, or, you know, how to get back to it or something.
Well, here's what you want to do. Here's what you want to do. You make so many of those recordings that you can't miss. You can just open up to anything, and it's going to be what you need to hear.
Yeah.
Because what do you need to hear? Let's see how very simple these recordings can actually be. What do you need to hear? If you had somebody who loves you unconditionally, it's your best friend, your sister, whoever it is, what would you want that person to say to you?
I love you, and I'm here for you, and whatever you're feeling is okay. And and I found that today too, that when I was suffering over the physical condition and suffering over the voices from conditioning, I started to be able to say, I love you, and it was really powerful.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Because that's what that system is withholding from us, right? There's really, when we're at center, when we're in the light room, we know that there is so much more good in our lives than not. True?
Yeah.
I mean, the list of good in our lives is endless. You know, in our own personal lives, you know, it's like even with a physical condition, if we started making a list of everything that's working, you know, it'd be a very long list, right? And then there's everything that surrounds us, that takes care of us, and our ability to eat and to have water to drink and probably a bed to sleep in, and, you know, just it goes on and on and on and on. But those voices, of course, just want us to focus on not enough, what's wrong, and the result is we feel unloved. That's a message that it's giving us all the time. You are unloved. You are not special. You're not important. People don't care about you, that's just how it is, because there's something wrong with you. You deserve it because there's something wrong. That's kind of the tone of it. And so to hear in a nonstop sort of way, I love you. I love you. You know, if you walk around in life and you're saying that to yourself, you're also saying it to everything else. So everything your eyes light on, every sound that you hear, everything you touch, everything you smell, everything you taste, I love you. I love you. I love you. Now you're living in a world of love. Right? Living in a world of love, that's a happy place to live.
That feels like the right mantra for me right now, like constant mantra.
Yeah, just constant, exactly, until you wake up in the middle of the night and you're aware that what's in your head is, I love you. Now you fall asleep to, I love you. You wake up in the morning to, I love you. right? It's just constant during the day. You're saying it. You're hearing it. It's appearing in your mind. You're just smiling. And you realize, oh, yeah, that pillow, I love you. Love you, pillow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's possible for us. And I'm convinced, it not only is it possible for us, but if there's a should, if there's a purpose, if there's a design, a reason, any of those things, it's to get to that place where you know inside the marrow of your bones that what you are is love, and what everything else is love.
Yeah. I think, Sherry, that's why I'm going through this. That mm-hmm. it's been something that I've wanted all my life, is to really deeply know love, what the love really is. And I've been, you know, that's felt like kind of my life journey. And I think this is, you know, the last opportunity maybe that I have.
Well, that hateful system really doesn't want you to have that, right? Because it is a hateful system, and it's not personal. It's not personal a bit. Doesn't want anybody to have it, because in love, it doesn't exist. That's why there's the big resistance and the screaming no and the trying to heap on more ugliness, right? But we just stay with that mantra. I love you. I love you. I love you. I was saying to somebody recently, you know, I was suggesting a mantra of, I don't care. I have absolute faith in unconditional love. So the voice says to me, blah, 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 blah. I don't care. I have absolute faith in unconditional love. I don't care. I have absolute faith in unconditional. You can't come at me with anything that I'm going to care about, because my whole being is devoted to unconditional love.
Oh, my God. Wow, I needed to hear that. That is like, there's so much that I can be afraid of right now, and I need to say that every time the voices try to get me scared.
That's right. I don't care. I don't care. Well, you're going to die. I don't care. I have absolute faith in unconditional love. Of course I'm going to die. Probably not in this moment. Odds are good it won't be right now. But it doesn't matter, because I have absolute faith in unconditional love, because unconditional love is what is. It's what is. It's what you are. It's what I am. It's what they are. It's what that is. It's everything. And if we forget, I think one of the fastest trips to clarity about that is just go spend some time with a tree. Right? Talk about an embodiment of unconditional love.
Or a puppy.
Or a puppy. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes. In fact, somebody sent me something that I think you'd love, and maybe other people, and maybe everybody saw it besides me already, but it's a BBC commercial, and is his name Richard Attenborough? I think that's his name. And he is narrating the song about I say to myself, it's a wonderful world.
It's a wonderful world. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Google that. Okay. Google Sir Richard Attenborough, I think it's his name, BBC commercial, It's a Wonderful World. Okay.
Okay.
And when you look at that, when you watch that, what happens inside you, because I'm pretty sure in my prediction here, what's going to happen inside of you is all the proof we would ever need of what we are and what this world is and what this plane of existence is, and the commitment, the deep commitment it inspires in us to stop listening to anything ugly and hateful. Okay? Then you'll let me know, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Richard Attenborough, BBC. Okay.
Yep, BBC commercial. What a Wonderful World. Yep. All right. Take good care of yourself. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
wonderful.
Thanks for joining us, Anya. Sherry, this show is getting big in a hurry.
Wow.
That's great. I don't care. I have complete faith in unconditional love. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got another piece of information about the deadline for the email class.
Oh. Wow.
In fact, it's tomorrow at 6 p.m., not today at 6 p.m.
Okay, so people don't have to race off and leave us, ditch us to go to their computers, either to watch that BBC commercial or to sign up for the email class. Plenty of time for everything. All right.
We don't want to encourage urgency ever, do we?
No urgency. Yeah.
Great. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Oh, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Virginia.
Hey,
Virginia. Hi,
Virginia.
Hi, good evening.
What are you up to?
Well, it's been a great radio show. I'm happy. It was just helpful and to hear everybody say what they said and have the conversation with you. And, I don't know what to say. It's been great. It's been great because
you can't just say it's been great. Goodbye. Right. There has to be more to it than that. So then we're going to plunge ahead.
Well, plunge ahead. Well, it's like, I guess what I'm hearing is, which I am always really happy to hear and need to hear, is that, it's like life after self-hate. Like there is a possibility.
Yes.
There's an avenue. There's a place to go after you recognize it.
Yes. Yes. In fact, that expression that we throw around a lot, awareness practice doesn't begin until the beatings stop. Now, of course, a lot of people hear that, and then they get a great, huge beating because they haven't gone beyond the beatings yet. But the whole point of that is that the self-hate is something we have to get past for life to really begin. So there's this feeling that people have that self-hate is life. Egocentric karmic conditioning is life. That's not life. That's the separation from life. That's the belief in this alternative reality that does not in fact exist. That's living in conditioned mind. Ego isn't real life. So as we move past that whole, out of that hypnosis, so the brainwashing, the giant bamboozle that ego has had us caught in, that's when we actually begin to experience life.
Yes. Yeah. And so that then the recognizing of it simply becomes a celebration rather than this is happening.
What a great point. I want to swim the English Channel.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm going to need to get my little swimsuit and learn to get in the water.
Yeah.
And then I can know that I'll probably get tired and I'll run out of energy and I'll be afraid and voices will talk to me about sharks and all of these things. But I'm going to swim the English Channel. Right? Those other things are impediments, and I need to get past them. So I need to get strong, and I need to have confidence and faith and stay focused on my goal, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, confidence, faith, staying focused on my goal. And I want to add something that I kind of do have a little question about, and that is applying the appropriate amount of effort or allowing life to take me where the next thing is. I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is it doesn't involve trying really hard or putting in a lot of effort.
Well, here's the one that we have about that. You can always do more than ego says you can.
Yeah.
And you need always to do less than ego says you should.
Yeah.
Right? Life is just the right amount. And what happens for us, if we go back to that swimmer, you know, in the beginning, all we're focused on is the water is really cold. This is really hard. I've made a bad decision. I don't want to do this. It's too hard. I don't want to. And then it takes more effort to overcome that, right? I have to have more desire to get where I'm going than ego has push for me to quit. So it does feel like a lot of effort. But as I get stronger and more confident, it gets easier. Now, at a certain point, I'm going to get to the place where it's enjoyable. I actually look forward to it. I want to go get, I want to train. I want to practice. Right? Now, at that point, ego is going to start trying. So in the beginning, it's going to talk me into, it's too hard. Just give up. Okay, now I'm not giving up. And it's actually at this point not all that hard. Okay, so but now the voices are going to start talking to me about, gosh, you've done so much. You know, you need to rest. Okay? And no, I don't, because that might have been a story that I would buy early on. I'm too tired. It's too hard. I need to rest. I'm pushing too hard. But now I don't need to rest. I'm fit and strong. Mm-hmm. I'm loving it.
Yes.
And we've proved to ourselves, if we think about it, or just let life drop in, that has happened to us time and time again with everything we've ever done.
Yeah.
Start out with resistance and move through to success. Start out with resistance, move through to success.
Yeah.
Same with awareness practice.
Yeah. You know, what I'm hearing you say is this, Sherry, and what I'm hearing you say is I'm going to make a lot of recordings about what it is that I'm aspiring to here and to have that focus of attention on what I'm going for. And,
yes. Virginia, and who you're doing it for.
And who I'm doing it for.
Because that's equally important. There's a suffering, back to Matthew, right? There's a suffering human being. Mm-hmm. And that's the human being that you can save. So there's a frightened, believing in inadequacy, beaten up periodically human being.
Right.
And that's who we're saving. So not only is it important to me that I keep training and keep practicing and keep getting stronger and more confident, but I'm aware that I am doing this for somebody who can't do it for themselves.
Yeah. Right. Somebody who needs my help.
Yep.
Yeah.
And somebody that you're the only person who can help.
And I'm the only person who can help. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a brilliant system. I don't know who thought it up, but it really is brilliant.
Mhm. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what, Cherry? I love the athletic metaphor because I understand that. What it's like
I know.
To train
bike rider.
Yeah, exactly. and to build muscles and how the body responds when it has that kind of attention.
Yes. And so also, so you're going to do a century ride over the mountains, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you start out, and here are the voices. Oh, God. Oh, no. How much longer? Are we finished? I can't do this. This is too hard. Yeah. You know, nobody wants to be in that experience, but that is what it's like, right? But when we get to that place where the person who is with us, coaching us, supporting us, is somebody who's saying, you're doing great. This is fabulous. Look at those trees. Isn't that gorgeous? You know, if we weren't out here like this, we wouldn't be seeing all this stuff. It's so beautiful. This is so much fun. I love this. I love this. I'm so glad we do this. I mean, we can feel just in that little conversation the difference in the energy.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Well, that person, when they get to the end of the ride goes, is that all?
Yeah.
When can I do it again?
Yeah. And you know also what you're describing, what I hear you describing too, Sherry, is how to live a life of joy. By learning to direct the attention and to...
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you could have finished the sentence right there, right? Yes, a life of joy by learning to direct the attention, because that's all that's involved, right? Mm-hmm. I'm listening to some negative crapola in my head mm-hmm. that is designed to depress me and suck the energy out of me. That's
right.
One life experience. Now, it wants me to think that there's some good reason for this. I deserve it. It's
yeah.
inspiring me to do better. Beatings help a person be, you know, all that stuff
yeah.
that people are taught. Okay, we get it. Nope, that's crap. That's just not true. That's all there is to it. And then we move into, we redirect the attention to what is really true.
Yeah.
And that is that you're a good person. And life is good, and as far as I can tell, we are meant to be joyful, and to live in appreciation and gratitude, to want to be of assistance to one another. That's what we are built for. And when all the energy isn't being sucked out to maintain that hateful system, then we get to live from what we're built to do, and that is to be present with an open heart and a joyful spirit.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow. I think you...
That's what I think. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm totally with you. And I think that you have addressed the things that were mulling around for me. I think you addressed them, Sherry, really perfectly.
Yeah, and that you can go to your experience of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, you have a ton of experience. When ego is pushing you, trying to push you too hard and then tell you you can't when you darn well can,
right.
versus when you're really present and in tune, in touch with yourself, in touch with your body,
yeah.
feeling that joy and gratitude and, you know, you're just, there's none of that's an issue. You're not going to overdo. You're not going to underdo.
Right.
You know,
right.
you're right in sync with life. It's easy and it's perfect.
It's easy and it's perfect. Yeah, I'm being right in sync with life. And actually, that is really key what you're saying because, well, what you told one of the callers tonight about, you know, I don't care. I trust unconditional love or I trust life.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go back and listen.
Yeah,
but,
that's it.
Ego would have me try really hard, you know, would have me trying really hard to be something, do something, accomplish something, be
yep.
a certain way, whatever. Anyway, it's into this thing of efforting. And where am I going
yeah.
with that?
Here's where I think you're going with that.
Yeah.
That when you are in sync with life, which we are built to be, we are built to be present and in sync with life. And when you are, there is no trying. There is no efforting.
Right.
This is the big spiritual secret of this whole thing. There is no you aside from in sync with life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
no such thing. That's an illusion. Yeah. That ego that's going to make something happen or stop them being controlled.
Yeah.
And, but all that's an illusion. So as that falls away, then we are what we are. And what we are is life manifesting.
Yes.
We are an expression of life. So we have to be in sync with life. There's nowhere else to be.
Yes. Right. You know, Sherry, I just to sum it up here, that's exactly why I called, and that's exactly what I'm going for, to be in sync with life and to have that experience of living from joy, from the heart, from being in sync with the energy that animates all beings and filled with love.
Yep. So when that voice kicks in that says, nah, 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 you just say, I don't care. I don't care. I have no time for this. And you just redirect attention back to this here now.
Yes.
Right? I don't care. I have absolute faith and trust in unconditional love. It's going to take care of me. There's no alternative to that. That's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is. Yeah. All right.
All right. Thank you, Virginia.
Thank you.
Oh, pleasure. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Virginia. Sherry,
how's that for timing, Michael?
Well, yes, that too. Great timing.
See, we're in sync with life. Yeah.
Yes.
There we are.
Yes, we are. Very true.
All right.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Okay. Good night.
All right. Good night.